Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 39, studying Mark chapter 11. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. If you miss any of our IGH 260 broadcasts, you will always find them archived at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to IGH.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll free at this number 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive a free 30 lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Mark chapter 11. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, the final week, Jesus enters Jerusalem, the story of the colt. Hosanna to the Lord, the quick trip to the temple, to Bethany with his disciples. To demonstrate that Christ's knowledge of where the colt was serves as an example of Christ's supernatural foreknowledge and not a result of his or someone else's prearrangement, we introduced this prophetic text from Matthew 21, 4 and 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." That passage, and another one just like it, see John 12, 14 and following, references Zechariah 9, verse 9, a First Testament prophecy that spoke of the Messiah's entrance into Jerusalem, quote, "lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." We asked a series of questions about Jesus' awareness of Old Testament prophecies generally, and we asked questions about Jesus' awareness of those prophecies concerning himself specifically. Here's the last question that we asked. Would Jesus, who repeatedly spoke to his disciples about his impending betrayal, trials, suffering, crucifixion, and death, would Jesus have also been aware of all prophetic texts that coincided with those greater historic events? And the answer, yes. Jesus would definitely have been aware of all of those related prophetic texts. As evidence of that, we introduced Luke chapter 24, where twice in that chapter, first to the two men traveling to Emmaus, and then second to the remaining 11 apostles, Jesus surveyed what the First Testament said about his passion. Jesus took the two men traveling to Emmaus to task for failing to believe, for being, quote, "slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Note those last words, "to believe all that the prophets have spoken." We introduced passages from the Gospels, the Book of Acts, and the Epistles, all of which emphasize that all the prophets were messianic in nature. And then we closed our last study with these words. Exactly what did Jesus say to these two men who were traveling to Emmaus? We do not know all of the details, but we do know that what Jesus said included what Moses said. It included what the prophets said, and it included what all the scripture said. Let's expand on those thoughts. What Jesus told the two men en route to Emmaus, and then later to the 11 remaining apostles, would have included what Moses said. That means everything that was written in the Torah, the law, the instruction, known as the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. It would also have included what the prophets said. That means all of the books of history, Joshua through Nehemiah, and Isaiah through Malachi, the prophets themselves. It would also have included what all the scriptures said. This would have encompassed messianic prophecies in the wisdom literature, the books of Job through Song of Solomon. What did Jesus do? Jesus expounded to them. The word expounded means that he explained what those texts said. It also means to clarify something so as to make it understandable, explain, interpret. Finally, what was the object of Jesus' explanation? Jesus explained to them, the man on the road to Emmaus, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Chapter 24, verse 27 of Luke. Though Luke does not tell us which specific scriptures Jesus mentioned, we know from other New Testament, all of the prophet texts that we cited in our last broadcast, that every prophet addressed the coming of Christ in some way. Did Jesus mention, and then did Jesus explain, every last Old Testament messianic prophetic text? Did Jesus summarize each book's messianic import? Did Jesus cover messianic texts more broadly by showing how each genre, each type of scripture, in its own way foretold the coming of the Christ? Did Jesus categorize? Did he arrange the text that he cited in a unique and memorable way? For example, did Jesus cite all of the messianic prophecies that referred to his birth? All those prophecies that referred to his miracles? All of those messianic texts that compared or linked him to great First Testament characters like Moses or David or Abraham? Or did Jesus just concentrate, appropriate to what we see as the central theme in Luke 24, did Jesus just concentrate on all of the Christological prophecies about his betrayal, his trials, his suffering, his condemnation at the hand of the religious leaders, his crucifixion, and finally, his resurrection? We just do not know the answers to these questions. We only know that because Jesus opened the scriptures to those two men, chapter 24, verse 32, that they not only saw the truth of First Testament messianic text as Jesus explained it to them, but also that their sense of hopelessness changed to a real awareness of who Jesus was prophesied to be, and thus of who Jesus really was. That would no doubt have produced a stronger, a greater faith in these two disciples. It would have been a resurrected Messiah faith. Earlier, we noted that Jesus expounded, that he explained, that he made understandable the scriptures to these Emmaus travelers. In the passage that we just referenced, after Jesus left them, they said that Jesus opened the scriptures. Here's how that complete verse reads. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Chapter 24, verse 32 of Luke. The word open in the phrase "open the scriptures to us" can mean open in a broad or a general sense. That's reflected in its New Testament use, where it refers to open wombs, Luke 2:23, open ears, Mark 7:34, open eyes, Luke 24, verse 31, the verse immediately before this one, open doors, Acts 5:19 or 1 Corinthians 16:9, an open scroll, Revelation 5:2, open heaven or open sky, Matthew 3:16, Acts 7:56, open mouth, Matthew 5:2, Matthew 13:35, and open hearts, Acts 16:14. But the word translated as open in the phrase "open the scriptures to us" in verse 32 can also mean explain, interpret, and in that regard, it parallels, at least it exists within the same sphere of meaning as the word that was translated as expounded just a few verses before, verse 27. In this sense, the term means to open the sense of the scriptures, explain them, to open the mind of one, that is, cause him to understand a thing, to open one's soul, that is, to rouse in one the faculty of understanding or the desire of learning. Those thoughts from the definition of the term in Thayer's lexicon. It was used in this sense, obviously, in the verse that we are presently examining, Luke 24, verse 32. But It was also used that way later in the chapter, as Jesus did essentially the same thing before the apostles. In that context, we read, "And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures," Luke 24:45. The word translated as opened appears as the same word. Related words that we will not take the time to go into here are the words understanding and comprehend. We see the same word translated as opened in Luke 24:32 and 24:45. We see it again when Paul taught the gospel to Lydia and her household. Acts 16:14 reads, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." A quick note about this passage. Lydia's heart was opened by means of, that is, through, the things spoken by Paul. The Lord, through Paul's preaching, opened Lydia's heart. Just like the Emmaus travelers and the apostles in Luke 24 had their hearts opened by Jesus' exposition of the First Testament prophecies concerning his passion. We will note only one more New Testament text using the same word. In Acts 17:3, Paul was described as explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." The first word in that verse, the word rendered as explaining, comes from the same term that we saw translated as opened, referring to opening one's understanding in the earlier cited passages, Luke 24:32, verse 45, and then Acts 16:14. Note also that what Jesus said to these two men was repeated in principle and in substance to the 11 remaining apostles themselves. You can read that passage here, Luke 24, starting in verse 33 and continuing through verse 53. In that context, Jesus opened their understanding, that they, the apostles, might comprehend the Scriptures, verse 45. Jesus used the same approach with them that he just did to the two disciples on the road. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." Luke 24:44. This reminder as we close, to start our free online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.